Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy! They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More.
Blog Talk Radio.
Contra Radio Network presents Ladies of the Watch.
Good evening and welcome to Ladies of the Watch. Tonight, we have a guest host from PrepperRecon.com. I don't know if I can say your name or not. Is that kosher?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, it's pasted all over the front of, I think, 10 or 11 books I've got out.
Oh, awesome.
I guess any operational security I had is pretty much gone with that.
Okay.
Yours too.
It's Mark Goodwin, okay. Yes.
Yes. And welcome. He's been very kind enough to come and give us a talk for however long it lasts tonight, at least hopefully an hour, because I didn't have a whole lot left after that. But, no, Don and I have some things going on later on. But you're here to talk about what tonight?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about preparedness on a budget because, you know, I think one of the things that people do is, especially when they first wake up, is people kind of go into this panic mode and you want to run out and max out the credit card and get all of this stuff because you think that the world's going to end tomorrow. And, well, while it might, everybody that's done that so far has lived to regret it. And retrospectively, they would have probably rather, came up with a sensible budget, said this is how much money I can allocate to prepping, and maybe there's some other areas in my life that I can scale back to sort of help fund that, or maybe there's some other things I can do to add an extra income or something like that to try to do it a little bit more in a sensible fashion. And then for, you know, a lot of times everybody's spouse isn't on board when it comes to prepping. Sometimes it's one person in the marriage that really sees the need to get prepared and the other one doesn't. And money's often a big concern for that. So I'm hoping that maybe we can talk about some things tonight that might help alleviate some of that.
Okay. And that's a really good point. We have had I have 4 listeners, but people call in that said, you know, how do you get the spouse online? And, when they're not on board. And the money is an issue because when I first started, I hit that, oh, my gosh, I'm going – well, I shouldn't say that. I've prepped since I was tiny, before it was prepping. But when I really got scared about it with the last election and all the things that were escalating on Facebook – I did the same thing. I was like, every penny I had went into the prepping because I was so far behind again. And but I've learned in the, you know, interim too, that that's not a valid way to do it. So, so go ahead. Let's see what you got.
And I think that one of the things that we got to look at when we're talking about preparedness right now, particularly is what are some of the things that we're preparing for? And I think that one of the bigger risks that we're facing right now is probably another economic downturn. The stock market right now, it's hitting all-time highs. And, we're way past 18,000 now. But a lot of that is being fueled by retirees that have absolutely no business in the stock market right now, and they're having to chase gains to make up for the 0% interest rates that they're getting. You know, modern portfolio theory would tell people that, you know, as you're getting older, you're taking less and less risk in your portfolio, so that by the time that you retire, you're somewhere around 60-70% fixed income products, which is, you know, CDs and government bonds and things of that nature that just have a slow, steady return on it. Well, that was all done with the assumption that you're going to be able to get, you know, 3-5% on CDs and bank accounts and government bonds. Well, that's not the case at all.
Not the case anymore.
So,
no.
So what are these people having to do to make up for that income? Well, they're having to buy Apple and Google SpaceX or whatever stock,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Elon Musk, you know, he just had another huge, he just blew up Facebook's satellite. So I don't know how well his stock's going to be looking, but that's the type of risk that they're taking. You know, they're buying in the companies that are blowing up Facebook's satellites. So, you know, and if you're 30 years old, that's fine, because you can lose that stock, and it can go to pennies on the dollar, and you can recoup from that. But if you're 70 and you need that income, and now you have to think about, I got to sell my 3-bedroom condo and move into a 1-bedroom, you know, or I got to sell my car and get, you know, a motorcycle or a moped or something, you know.
Right.
So you have to make real drastic lifestyle cuts to be able to deal with those types of setbacks.
Absolutely. And I'm kind of the mind, how many times is it actually going to bounce back? I mean, we all kind of prep because we're afraid that there's going to come to a point where we're kind of like Venezuela, maybe not to that extent, but where it's not going to come back. And this is what we have. At least many of the people I know are like that. And that's what I worry about. My dad is one of the elderly retirees that you're talking about, and I watch them scramble all the time, and it's really painful.
Yeah, and they were sold this idea that, you know, you work hard and you save your money and you stick it in the bank or you stick it in government bonds or CDs or whatever, and you'll be able to live on the interest. And that's not happening for them, is it?
Right. No.
And you mentioned Venezuela. And
right.
that's where socialism ends. That's what happens. And they've now, you know, pretty much hunted dogs and cats to extinction. And they're now eating zoo animals.
Right.
And it sounds like some post-apocalyptic parody movie, you know.
Right.
But it's not. It's reality. That's what's really happening. And this is, you know, 6 months ago, you saw them hijacking food delivery trucks.
Right.
And what were they doing? You'd see 20 or 30. You didn't see any of this on the mainstream media, but I'm sure most of your listeners are probably watching a lot of alternative
news. Oh, yeah.
We've
all seen it. We talked about it.
And you know, get the footage that the people are taking themselves in Venezuela and putting it up on YouTube. But you'll see a gang of 40, 50 people hijack a truck full of food, and they're carting off 20-pound bags of rice, and they've just got the biggest – they just risked their life for a 20-pound bag of rice, and they've got the biggest smile on their face because they know that they're going to eat tonight. They're going to be able to feed their children, and they're going
right.
to still have some food tomorrow because they have a 20-pound bag of rice. And you know what that 20-pound bag of rice costs at Walmart right now? It's like $8.
Right.
And, you know, and that will feed an adult person for about 10 days. It'll keep you alive for about 10 days for $8.
Right.
And, you know, if these people would have had the forethought to be able to do that and store it away. But now in Venezuela, guess what? It's illegal to store food. You're not allowed to. But that's where socialism ends up.
That's where they're supposed to be shared for the common good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it levels the playing field because it brings everybody down to absolute total poverty, to the lowest common denominator. That's how you level the playing field. It doesn't bring everybody up. When they vote for the socialist candidate, that's what they think is going to happen, that everybody's going to get elevated to the 1%. But that's not how it works. And the 1% is still in Venezuela. And if we put another socialist in office here,
it's going to happen the same way.
That's exactly what's going to happen. And we're, you know, and how many generations are we from communism? Because we saw the support that Bernie Sanders got. That's the young people.
And that's all the young people. That's what I was going to say.
And
all about
as they grow
free stuff and sharing, and you know, we're almost back to like the 70s hippie movement.
Yeah. We just watched a documentary. It's on YouTube. It's called A Century of Revolution, China, A Century of Revolution, and it was all from the time Mao started in the 20s all the way through his death, and Deng Xiaoping after Mao's death, and so it covered that entire 100-year period, and it's just, there was some just asinine stuff going on, especially with Mao, him telling everybody to quit farming and start making steel. And well, these people don't have any. They didn't have any tools to make steel, and they're just melting down like they're melting down like their silverware and stuff, because that's what they think that the chairman wants. And they're building these little smelters out of like clay, and so they melt down everything they have a utility, and they're going to try to catch up with the Americans by that. I mean, it's just completely asinine. And so what ended up happening is 20 million people starved to death because everybody quit farming and started making steel pots in their backyard by melting down their silverware and their farming utensils, their hoes and their rakes and all of that. They're melting that stuff down to make these pots, and then the pots are so poor quality you can't even hold water in them. And that's socialism.
All right.
And everybody thinks it's a good idea, and you're not even allowed to criticize it. The people that would criticize it and say, "Wait a minute, if we all quit farming, you know, who's if we all start doing this, who's gonna grow the crops? How are we gonna eat?" If you said something like that, you were called a rightist, and they'd lock you up. So you couldn't even voice common sense opposition to these asinine policies. It was absolutely insane. And you think about the kids that were following Bernie, and they're on that same level that they would quit farming and melt down the silverware out of their parents' silverware drawer to make a pot that doesn't hold water because Bernie told them to do it. And that's exactly where their common sense level is.
Oh,
if they
and
think
I
that socialism is going to work.
That is so scary. Oh, man. I vaguely remember hearing about that in school, you know, back eons ago. But
yeah,
it's crazy. That's where we're headed now. I mean, it's getting to the point where if you try to speak out or you try to do things, they're labeling us as internal terrorists or, you know, the crazy right-wingers. And it's all biased. I've been watching the mainstream media, and it's all about conservative values. There's very little Republican ideology. You know, anything about Trump is all bad. Anything about Hillary is 90% good. But what are the Republicans trying to do? It's all being swayed to that direction. And I've been really noticing a big difference on that one, even in the last 2 weeks.
The protest, the rallies, the Trump rallies, and where the supporters were just brutally attacked. Mm-hmm. And in some cities where the in some of the more, I can't remember which city it was one of them, and I think it was in California, where the police chief basically told his men to stand down.
San Jose.
And you see the police lined up. Yeah, San Jose, and you see the protesters just beating his Trump supporters right in front of the police, and nothing's being done for it. So she's absolutely abandoned the ideology of law and order. We've seen that over and over with the emails and with the theft by the Clinton Foundation. And you know, that we don't even have to start speculating about all the murders where, you know, your life expectancy, if you were any type of a Clinton aide, you know, I would imagine your life insurance rates are through the roof. They probably won't take you. It's probably if you're like a high wire act that crosses the Grand Canyon with no net, you can probably get insurance cheaper for life insurance than if you're a Hillary aide.
No kidding.
Or you work for the Clinton Foundation, because, you know, just bad stuff happens to those people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned, Julie, that you know, you think someday the stock market's not going to bounce back. And 2008, it bounced back because we doubled the money supply. They quit tracking M3, but the M2 money supply was, I think it was $10 trillion in 2008, and it's $20 trillion now. And, of course, the debt is also very, very close to having doubled as well. And we're at, like we talked about at the beginning of the program, interest rates are at zero. So we've got no ammunition for the next pullback, and we're way overdue for a pullback. You know, the market's been going straight up since 2009 with no real checks. I mean, last August we had a 1,000-point drop in one day. I think it was last August 24th. And of course, when you turned on CNBC, they had brought Jim Cramer, who's the evening show. They brought him in the morning. With the other guy that does the regular morning show on CNBC, and they're talking about a 1,000-point market crash, saying this is a normal buying opportunity. So they bring in the talking heads to pump up this false sense of confidence. You know, this is like something from Mao's China, you know, where you've got the talking heads sitting there telling you a 1,000-point drop is a normal buying opportunity and a healthy correction. It's an unprecedented implosion of confidence, yet they somehow got in there and propped it up. And of course, you know, it's not conspiracy theory. It's you know, it's well known fact that we have the plunge protection team, which is, you know, members of the Fed and the Treasury, that it can go in and buy highly leveraged derivatives of stocks that push the entire market up. So, and when you can print your own money, when you've got your own printing press, you know, you've got a lot of things that you can do like that. So it got propped up then, and, you know, and we haven't really had any major hiccups since that, but we don't know when the next time people are going to say, I don't care what Jim Cramer tells me, I don't think this is a normal buying opportunity, I'm cashing all my chips in and I'm getting out.
Yeah, well, I've tried to get my dad to do that and he won't do it. He's, you know, the investors, the all the places that you invest money, they say, oh no, it'll come back, it's normal, it's blah blah blah. And I do not understand how some of us can see this and read this and not say, oh, this is all conspiracy, and others can just totally not see it. I mean, the last two falls I predicted to my dad that he was going to lose money and he needed to get them out. Usually I used to listen to NPR, and he's, oh, no, no, no. And he lost 50% of his stock, at least 50%. And he turned gray the first time, and the second time his hair fell out. And now he's 80 years old, and he can't take another one. You know, he says, well, it'll come back again, but he's 80. You know, what good is it going to do if it's a five-year comeback when you're 80? It just, the whole thing bothers me. And that half of these people are not awake. And that's what I wonder, and that's one of the reasons we started this, John Begay.
We have a caller.
One reason. Somebody told me to come and talk. Because
go ahead, caller.
I feel like, we need to get it out.
You didn't think I was just going to abandon you, did you?
I did.
Oh, no.
I thought you were
going to
just skedaddle for the whole thing.
No, actually, to be perfectly honest, with such an awesome guest speaker, I was going to go ahead and just sit in the back and bask in the glory of his knowledge.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. Well, that's what I'm doing. I have a question.
In the land of the blind, the man with one eye is king.
I have a question.
Exactly.
Well, no, it's just, see, I've known Prepper, and he probably doesn't know this because, you know, it's not like we're having Christmas card exchange or anything, but I've known him for quite some time. Started out way back when I was still Johnson following him, when he was just, you know, just had his own little thing going. And kind of watched him come to this rising star. So basically, I think it's really awesome he's here. Thank you so much for being on our little show.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor to be on Ladies of the Watch.
Oh.
I have a question. I have a question.
All four of you. Are you guys getting this? Go.
My question is
this. We're really, really small right now. But this is an absolutely great topic because this is one that I know very, very little about. I can prep on a budget, I mean that, but the financial part of this is fascinating. So I'll let you guys keep going.
I have got a question. And my question is this. Does the Fed have any more ammunition left to prop up the economy, or are they out of ammunition? Do they have one bullet left that they can do, or what's the status of the Fed? Are they able to do anything at all to stave off inflation?
Well, they still have a printing press.
Is that their only bullet?
As long as they can get green ink, they don't even need the ink and the paper anymore because they can just enter it into a computer.
Right.
So as long as people will keep taking dollars, you know, they can keep propping it up. At the same time, the dollar is going to keep devaluing because every time you print another dollar, this is why they really frown upon counterfeiting, is because if you have a press in your basement and you print up $1 million, you've just devalued everybody else's money because now you've got an extra $1 million chasing around the same amount of goods and services that were in the economy. So that's not fair to everybody else that doesn't have a press, unless you're the government. So they've got a press, so they can do that, and they can keep doing it until people won't accept that the dollar's payment anymore. And then when that day comes, then we're going to have a big reckoning, and that's going to be really bad. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of folks are preparing for because as we're seeing in Venezuela, when you don't have a functioning currency, things can get really, really nasty. And the folks, you know, their neighbors in Argentina, they've had to deal with that. In the 90s, Russia had to deal with that. In the 30s, Germany had to deal with that. Zimbabwe had to deal with that. I've got a piece of paper. It's an official Zimbabwe banknote. And it's $50 trillion. Buy you a stick of bubble gum. It won't even buy you a stick of bubble gum.
Does anybody remember what happened in the 70s?
Yeah, we just about went off the deep end in the 70s. And fortunately, Henry Kissinger, who's a member of the CFR, the Bilderberger Group, and the Trilateral Commission, was able to go over to the Saudis and convince them to denominate oil only in dollars and get the rest of the OPEC to go along with that. And so we've had this sort of petrodollar ever since then. And
are you
and
talking
of course,
about the reserve currency?
We're talking about
talking
the U.S.
about
dollar.
The beginning of OPEC. He's talking about the beginning of OPEC and when we became attached to the hip to Middle East and their oil. Until the 70s crunch, and to be perfectly honest, if you really want to do some research, there really wasn't a run on oil. We had natural reserves here that could have lasted still to this day. We chose not to use them because they wanted to go ahead and expand economically. But what happened with that is that when we attached ourselves to OPEC, that's when we made millionaires and billionaires and even, I don't know, trillionaires out of our Saudi Arabian ties and out of a lot of the other Middle Eastern. And that's when we started looking at them and started dabbling politically over there. That's because, hey, that's our oil. We're going to go ahead and play with it.
Mike, because I had heard that was when the U.S. dollar became the world's reserve currency, was during that time.
It became the world's reserve currency in the 40s in the Bretton Woods Agreement after World War II, when they said, we're going to all U.S. currency, it's going to for world reserve currency, it's, you know, a dollar is going to mean a dollar's worth of gold. And then in the late 60s, Charles de Gaulle did a little math on the back of a napkin and said there's no way that the Americans actually have as much gold as all the dollars they're putting out. I don't trust them. I'm cashing in all these dollars that we're holding for as a reserve currency, and I want France's gold back. And so when they did that, started a run on the gold reserves in America. And Nixon closed the window in the 70s and said, well, that's it. We're not going to keep doing this. We're not going to keep giving you a dollar's worth of gold for a dollar's worth of paper. But just know that it's worth it, and we've got it. And nobody trusted them. And then that's when we started seeing hyperinflation. And then Kissinger had to step in, cut the deal with the Saudis to prop up the dollar with oil. But it's still held that reserve currency status. But now nobody really wants to do that anymore because everybody's seeing that the gig's up, and everybody's wanting to start moving closer to the SDR, the special drawing rights, which is the IMF's currency that derives its value from a basket of the other world currencies. So, you know, the dollar's weighted in there, and then the euro's weighted in there, and then, you know, Russia's currencies, China's currency, everybody else's currencies weighted into that basket for the SDR.
Okay. Well, see, that's good information.
Absolutely. Well, and I heard through the grapevine that there won't be any more buyouts.
Bailouts or buyouts?
Buyouts.
Buyouts.
If the banks go, and I can't get, that is not something that I can back up with proof. But it was in one of our chat rooms, and people were talking about that, and they said they will not be able to buy out again. If it does go down, that's what pulled us out of the last one. And I don't know if that's true. Like I say, this is kind of a new field for me. But so if they don't pull out, and China's yen goes
yuan.
That's right, yuan.
Yeah. Goes into, you know, a major market, then what does that do to our dollar?
Yeah, they would never. I don't think that they're in any rush to have the yuan become the world reserve currency, because then that it gets strong, and then that's, it makes it harder for them to import their cheap junk to export their cheap junk
to the U.S.
I want to clarify. What are you talking about? Buyouts? Are you talking about buying U.S.
Bailouts,
debt when
banks
it's
and whatever?
Oh, bailing out the banks. Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, you know, the Fed's got a printing press, so they can kind of keep doing that trick until people decide that they're not going to take the dollar anymore, or it becomes devalued to the point that it's worthless. You know, it's the dollar's lost, I think 97% of its value since we went off the gold standard in the 30s. So, you know, out of that 3% that's left, you know, if you – it could lose another 90%. It could lose 90% of that 3%, you know, over another 100 years. If they can keep – being this sort of this leaky sieve that they've got, that to where it's just dripping value slowly over time, that's fine. But when you double the money supply, you cut the value in half in a very short period of time. And so – that's the types of things that cause severe disruptions and end up with the type of environment that you've got in Venezuela right now, or what you saw in Argentina in 2000 or Russia in the 90s.
Okay. Well, you also have at this point a severe reduction in our credit rating globally as well.
Right? Yeah.
First time since the 30s that we've lost a AAA.
Yeah. Yeah, so nobody else trusts us anymore. So that puts us, you know, if a guy walks off a cliff, and it's a 100-foot cliff, that first 99 feet, nothing catastrophic happens. But it's that last foot that gets you.
Deceleration trauma.
Yeah. So
I've got another question
for
you.
We're off the cliff. We're off the cliff, you know, but what we got to figure out is, are we closer to 99 feet up in the air and falling, or are we closer to that last foot? And, you know, and it's just whenever we hit that last foot that we're going to need to brace for impact.
I got another question. Is there any gold left in the United States? Is Fort Knox empty?
We don't know. There's not been really an audit of it.
I agree.
Germany, we've got all of these other banks that have agreed to let America hold their gold, and now they want it back. And this has been over, you know, the past few years. Germany's wanted their gold back, and they couldn't get it, or they were told it was going to take, you know, 6 or 7 years to get a couple of tons of gold shipped back. And so we don't know. There's some gold somewhere, because the U.S. Mint is still selling gold buffaloes, and they're still selling gold American Eagles. But we don't know if all the gold that's supposed to be there is there.
Right.
Who wants to take a bet? Who wants to take a wild guess if that would be a yes or a no?
I'm guessing no, because we risk a relationship with a very staunch ally in Germany by telling them it was going to take them 6 years to get their gold back. And then, of course, when Ukraine fell, you know, we were kind enough to go extract their gold for them and keep it safe until they could get all their political turmoil fixed.
Oh, wasn't that sweet of us?
Yeah.
Do you see a future where the government's going to ask for a bail-in, where they seize savings accounts and whatnot to balance balance their budget. But do you see the government using the banks for a bail-in as opposed to a bailout?
It's on the books. The laws are on the books to be able to do that. And
that's
It's what?
As of January 2015, your savings accounts are no longer considered a savings account. They changed the verbiage, and what they did is they basically made you a creditor of the bank. That way, if the bank defaults, you must stand in line with all the other creditors that they owe money to for them to pay you back.
Which and you're an unsecured, and you're an unsecured creditor.
Correct.
Well, they're all
at the back of the line.
They're all backed by the FDIC, which has something like a quarter of a percent of the money that they're insuring. They actually have in a fund somewhere to pay somebody out. And of course, the FDIC is backed by the Fed, which you know can just fire up the printing press. But once again, now we're looking at a currency that becomes utterly worthless. It's like this Zimbabwe note that I'm looking at. You can just keep putting more and more zeros on that piece of paper, and at some point it stops meaning anything, and people quit taking it, and they just don't want it anymore.
Huh.
So as long as they can keep – as long as people will keep taking paper, as long as people will keep accepting or a digital transaction, and they'll keep accepting something – this mystical unicorn called the U.S. dollar – that has nothing back in it other than maybe, a nuclear fleet to where, you know, if you don't want to take the dollar, bad things happen to you. That's Saddam decided he was going to sell oil and gold. No, he didn't live very long after that. And Gaddafi thought he was going to try to do the same thing. And it turned out to be not so great for his health either. So as long as people keep taking the dollar, then they can keep that gig going. So it's hard to say. It's went on longer than I ever expected it to.
Well,
and we've got a population that would happily melt down the silverware in their drawer and go out and make pots that won't hold water. So there we have it. You know, it's not. If it doesn't keep working, it won't be for a lack of a stupid populace.
That's because they've been trained this way. I mean, all the stuff that you see on Hillary and on the news, it's not even hidden anymore. And there's nobody complaining about it. Except
oh, they're zombies.
Our side. I think, you know, that's what they were doing is teaching it in schools. My son brought home a paper last year that it was a test that they had to take. It was like a true or false. And it said things like, the government is in charge of the people and the people must do everything the government says because you can trust the government and they do what's Whoa. Right for the people. And I raised my son, you know, be a free thinker, and he put, no, this isn't true. The people are in charge of the government. Go to the Constitution, go to the Bill of Rights, go to the... And he got it wrong. And he told me about it. He said, I tried to get a copy of it, Mom, to take home, but it was on the computer. And so I went down and said, my son was telling me about this test he was taking, and I'd like to see it. I'd like to see his results. And they said, oh, we can't. They're random tests. Nobody knows which kid got which test, and you can't pull up results. And it didn't have any test value as far as points and things. And that made me angry. I just about pulled my kid out of that school.
So what was the point of giving the test?
Huh?
So what was the point of giving the test?
The school
it's indoctrination over education.
Absolutely, and it's getting more and more prevalent.
One of the points of giving the test, guys, is because what they have been doing for the last two generations of our public school system is indoctrinating children to learn how to by rote, not by memory. So they put them in this mindset that you just go ahead and regurgitate what you were told, write it exactly as you're told, and as long as you comply, you will excel. So they've basically created the next socialism. I mean, Hitler himself was the one that said, I don't need you. I just need your children. And this is what has happened
absolutely.
In public school.
Yep.
And that's what Mao did after. And the second phase of his revolution, after all these people starved because he told them to melt their silverware down and instead of farming, he blamed it all on the everybody else in the government, and told the children to stand up and rebel against the government, which he was the head of the government. And he said, you know, I'm the only good guy. Everybody else is bad. You know, beat up your landlords and take to the streets and start burning stuff down. And that's what they did. And he came out smelling. And he came out smelling like a rose on the other side of it. And it's just complete insanity. And America's on exactly the same track. And we've got no more common sense than those people. We've got no more common sense than the people that put Chavez in or Hitler or anybody else. And we're going on the same path. And we've got to start, and it's time to start making some preparations. Like we said, that last foot of that 100-foot drop is the one that's going to get you. And that's what you got to brace for. And for folks that you got to start with a budget. You don't start by going out and maxing out your credit card, because if this is a financial crisis, which I suspect it will be, because we're so far long overdue, and like we said, we're very, very limited tools for what the government can do to pull us out of the next nosedive. So folks have got to get on a budget. Dave Ramsey's got he's got a really good budgeting tool on his site, and it's free, and you just go in and you just fill in all of the categories for your monthly expenditures, and then, you know, what you've got coming in, and it helps you to just look at that stuff, because most Americans, they don't do that. They're just I get a check and I spend it, and they really don't know what's left over after taxes, and they don't really know what they're spending it on. They just know that somehow it all works out. Well, someday it's not going to all work out, so you got to get a hold of that stuff now and start living on less than you make. And you know, the Chinese, as little as they make, and it's something, you know, a couple $100 a month, and they save 30% of their income, which just comes from just, you know, being disciplined and really making a priority out of savings, because they don't have Social Security. They don't have any type of a social net. And most people are gonna come to find out that we're not going to have Social Security either, because they may pay you out everything they told you they'll pay you out. But by the time they've printed up enough money to give you that payout, it's not going to be worth the paper it's printed on. So you got to start taking your finances into your own hands. And I think that the best way to do that is a budget. And then once you get on that budget, start building up a 6-month emergency fund. Because if you've got 6 months in emergency fund, then if you have if you're injured or you have a job loss, or, you know, God forbid there's a pandemic and nobody can leave their house for 6 months, you've got a little time to think, to get stuff figured out, to where, you know, you don't go straight into crisis mode because you've been living hand to mouth. And if you don't get next week's paycheck, you're financially ruined.
Right.
So if you've got that 6 months, then you can take some time to breathe and think about that, and think about what your next move's going to be. That's very, very valuable. And plus, if you've got that 6 months emergency fund, you know, that then go a long way to, you know, if you have the alternator goes out on your car. You don't have to get out the credit card for that. You've got an emergency fund for that. So now you're not paying, you know, 12-15% interest to a credit card company when you're getting nothing in the bank. You know, you've got your own emergency fund. You can take care of that yourself. And now,
yeah,
this
I'm
6
gonna...
months emergency fund, this is to be kept liquid. So this isn't something that that you're using, that you're investing. You're not buying gold and silver with this. This is liquid cash.
Can I say something
right
now that's
going
to be really, really
yes.
unpopular, but it's a blunt truth? If you really want to prepare for a shit hits the fan scenario, or for an end of the world as we know it, my recommendation is you cut up the credit cards.
Oh, that's not unpopular. I haven't had a credit card in 30 years.
But see, you're pragmatic, Julie. Most 90% of the population when they were questioned, there are multiple surveys they've done. I do them online right now just for kicks and giggles because I'm bored. 75% of those who were surveyed said they would rather give up their cable, rather give up their cell phone, rather give up their personal transportation than give up their credit cards.
Huh.
Wow.
I cannot even fathom that. I've tried to teach my kids you don't use credit because, or credit cards, because when I was 18, I think I had a $200 credit card, racked it up to $400 and paid $800 back. And I saw the writing on the wall with that. And
well, we've been conditioned since the 70s that we need to be in debt.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, you got off cheap, Julie.
What's the first thing? Yeah,
I did.
What's the first thing that happens when you're 18?
Yeah.
Get off.
You know, what's the very first thing that happens when you're 18? Not only do you get your birthday present and the right to smoke and the right to vote, you start getting inundated with, hey, I've got $5,000 waiting for you right now on this credit card. Just sign and seal.
Sure. Well, and my son, I told him get one of those loaded credit cards because, you know, what you put into it's what you spend, and that and you can
right.
use it everywhere like a credit card, but then you're not going over your budget. But he still wants one, so.
Yeah, you need to get really, really disciplined with debt. You need to have an emergency fund and all that kind of thing before you even think about getting a credit card.
So
and,
why not silver? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, no. I love silver. I love silver. I love gold. But this is so far down the list. And then also for your listeners, on PrepperRecon.com, at the very top of the page, right under the menu bar, I've got a banner. It says free 7-step survival plan. And this is for the folks that are just waking up or and they're paralyzed by fear. They don't know where to start. And it breaks it all down and it gives you a list of things to do in a priority fashion so that you can do step one, step two, step three, and you're not gonna do the wrong things at the wrong time because one of the first things people wanna do is go out and buy gold and silver. Gold and silver are great. People that had gold and silver in the 30s when the Weimar Republic crashed in Germany, if you had an ounce of gold, you could buy an entire city block of real estate in downtown Berlin. So I mean, it's a great thing for wealth preservation, but you can't eat it. You can't defend yourself with it. You can't grow crops with it. You need to get all that other stuff out of the way before you start thinking about long-term wealth preservation. And that's what gold and silver is for. But you should have all those other basic steps taken care of before that. And you shouldn't have your 6-month emergency fund tied up in the gold and silver.
Is your 6-month emergency fund. Because it's harder to spend gold and silver. You have to go find a place that will take it, and then you have to get your value out of it. So it's a little trickier to do it than just fluid cash.
Yeah, it is. But you're just gonna have to be disciplined. You're just gonna have to decide that you want to survive, and you don't want to be one of the people chasing down a food supply truck for a $20 bag of rice like the people in Venezuela, or they're eating zoo animals right now in Venezuela.
Yes.
So you want to decide that you don't like kangaroo meat and you're going to not spend that money.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to eat a panda bear. You don't want to have to tell your 3-year-old, yes, honey, I know panda bears are cute, but just pretend it's chicken. You know, so don't spend the money. So you just got to take it and not spend it. You just got to and you got to start getting disciplined. And if you can't get that discipline to not do that, then, you know, it's like the credit card. You're going to find a way. So keep that liquid, you know, and some of it you need to be able to keep it in your house. So you probably need a safe and that safe should probably be bolted to the floor. And now, you know, somebody can come in, put a gun to your head and say, open that safe. And absolutely, that's exactly what you're going to do is open it up. So you don't want to keep it all there. So now you got to keep some of it in these at-risk banks that, you know, you could wake up tomorrow morning and they could say the bank's closed. But, you know, you got to diversify your risk.
Though, right? You also have co-op instead, right?
Yeah, you can, and you know, and credit unions are—they're not part of the FDIC system, so you know, maybe they'll be a little safer. Who knows? But and then you know, if you want, you can get some PVC pipe and some red hot blue glue and some end caps, and you can make a little cache and bury it in your backyard. And now you've got, as long as it's bills. And it's watertight and it's plastic, nobody can pick that up with the metal detector. So, you know, maybe you got a little bit in the safe, a little bit in the ground, a little bit in the bank, and you got that 6 month all split up into 2 month increments, you know, and split up into three different places. So, you know, if something happens to one batch of it, you still got the other 4 months.
That's a really good idea. I mean, we all have heard about, you know, the 6 months and the other, but I hadn't thought about, I just don't put anything in the bank.
A lot of people don't trust it. Yeah.
But that's a good point.
And then once you get your budget, start looking at the ways in that budget that you can make some big, serious cuts. You know, when we got our free Obamacare, our premium went from $85 a piece up to, for the both of us, it was $790. It was real close to $800 from $85 a piece. And then Obamacare came in, and for the same just catastrophic coverage that we had, the exact same coverage under Obamacare, was now $800. So we got out of that. We found a loophole. It's called MediShare. It's a Christian organization, and you have to not drink, not smoke, and you got to live a godly lifestyle for them to accept you. But now that we're on that, we're back down to, for the both of us, it's right at $200 a month. So that's $600 a month for the same catastrophic care coverage, and we're paying $600 less. So that was a big
cut. Another thing you can do? Another thing you can do is that now have a growing trend across the nation. We have two doctors in our area that do not take insurance.
They just take cash.
Cash or barter.
Ah, very good. Very good.
Yep. That's,
you know,
over
you
here
could find one of them.
Yep.
And
you know, think about cutting your cable. You pretty much have to have internet these days. But if you got internet, you can get a Roku box. It's $100 to buy it, and you can get all of the networks on there and most of the other channels. There's plenty of junk on there to still watch without paying for cable.
But do you get the Seahawks?
And, you can't get the Seahawks.
Oh, I can't do it then.
I don't know if you can get the Seahawks. You probably can. There's probably a way to get it.
If I can get Seahawks and NASCAR, my husband would have no problem starting with cable. But as far as we're concerned in this house, we can have electricity turned off before he loses his game.
Now, you could probably get – now, there's when you get Roku, everything – you pay $100 one time for the box, and then everything's free. But there are premium things that you can add on there, and you just pay for what you add on. So you might be able to R-O-K-U. And it works off your router, and then we've got a box on both TVs, and then we pick what we want to watch, and it's all on demand. So also you don't have to watch whatever happens to be playing. You know, you just go in and you pick what you want to watch. You play it on demand.
That's what I got. So
hey,
mine's called.
You get HBO with that.
Mine's called a Kodi box. Same principle. And it runs right off the router. It's phenomenal. You don't need cable anymore.
Yeah.
So I could get my Game of Thrones still too, right? Dirty Pleasure.
You can get HBO. You have to pay. You got to pay a premium for HBO, but it's not like a whole cable package. You know, you just pay for the HBO.
Huh.
Okay. I'm on the website right now, guys. This is awesome. Some things, though, they do say you have to have a cable subscription required, like NBC. I don't know why anybody would want to watch NBC, but if that happens to be your thing, sorry.
There's two levels of NBC. You can get the live streaming of NBC, and then you can also get the free Roku version. Now, if you've got we watch the America's Got Talent because it's one of the few things that's you know, where there's actually some American exceptionalism in there from time to time. There's a lot of idiots on there as well. But once in a while, you see some folks with real talent on there. And now, if you've got a regular cable subscription and you get the Roku, then you watch anything you want when it comes on. If you've just got the budget Roku, you have to like wait a week until they unlock it, which we don't mind doing, because that's just our new show, you know. So, and then next week we'll have the next one. So you know, we waited a week for it, and CBS, Fox. They all do basically the same thing with that.
Okay. I'm saving this, and I will be doing
another great way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Another great way to save money, Zyka Fresh is basically a online butcher shop. And really great chicken, extra lean ground beef, like 93.7 ground beef. My wife just went and picked up shrimp from there today, and it's all like super, super cheap. You can get from anywhere else, and it's very, very high quality meats. The only drawback is you got to buy a case, and you pay for it ahead of time, and then when the truck comes, you just
go
pick it up. So what we do is we'll get the beef and we'll freeze half of it, and then the other half we'll take and we'll make meatballs and we'll can meatballs, because the only thing we really can is meat, because it's pretty cheaper to buy already canned vegetables than it is to buy the vegetables and can them. And our garden is not big enough to produce enough excess to be canning vegetables right now. So meat's one of the few things we can, and so that's what we'll do. We'll can the chicken. Canned chicken's not as great as like fresh chicken, but it's good in like chicken salad or like chicken soup, or in the apocalypse, it tastes a lot better than Panda Bear that you had to go shoot from the zoo.
You know what's really kind of funny about the whole Venezuela thing that I have been able to figure out? Venezuela is what? I learned how to eat insects.
Wow.
It's where one of the main proteins that, like, all the rage there 10 years ago was your grasshoppers and your spiders and and literally they just come out of the jungle by the caseload. So when I'm hearing all these people starving, I'm trying to figure out, you know, was it because they became so used to processed food, they stopped dealing with the indigenous stuff that was there?
Maybe. Are they teaching them that, you know, I know there was a lot of stuff on bushmeat and how you couldn't eat out of the jungles because we were wiping out the wildlife. And that was 5 or 6 years ago. They wouldn't let them eat monkey or anything. And I wonder if that's just if that's something that has been, you know, that we don't hear about here. Like they say, don't go eat stuff out of the jungle anymore.
Well, could be, but
yeah, Venezuela they're eating endangered white tigers right now because that's all there is.
Yep. They're starting to eye each other, you know, neighborly like to find out which one's the fattest of the group. And trust me, everybody went on a diet. Trust me, everybody's getting thin because they know.
Wow.
You and your barbecue sauce. You always have to have a way to work it in.
I didn't say it this time. You said it. I'm so grateful.
I'm so proud of you. So, and we've talked about this before, the budget stuff, you know, the dollar stores and things that you can do. Pretty much what you guys have just talked about, we don't have cable TV. We don't have TV at all. We raise most of our own meat. Our garden did not do good this year. And I don't know why. It usually does really, really good, but this year couldn't get any growth at all. And that was a big concern because we know we're going to have to live off of it eventually. And
you know what's interesting, Julie, is that I'm hearing from across the nation that a lot of people's gardens did not do well.
Right. And there was that one guy that posted he planted all his new garden, and the next day they had done chemtrails or something, and then everything was black.
No, please.
And I think about that, too. I'm trying not to get on the really super hysterical bandwagon when it comes to that stuff. But sometimes you can't help but make comparisons, you know? And
yeah, our garden,
we have all these earthquakes.
Fails.
I mean, the one in Oklahoma today. And, oh, that reminds me, everybody, I'd like them, if you are following earthquakes, and if you're in the Midwest, Oklahoma's supposed to have another one, and it's supposed to go over to the East Coast. And I watch Dutch Synths on YouTube, and it's worth a look because he's projecting earthquakes all this week. And these are things that you might want to prepare for.
And,
but,
and you got New Jersey. You got three counties that are under emergency. Oh, what the hell is it called? They're under emergency watch now.
Right.
In New Jersey.
Well, you also heard Yellowstone was evacuated twice, right?
Right. And he said there was a 3-point something up there. And that affects us because we're on this coast, and if that blows, the volcanic activity there is gonna we're gonna be directly.
Well, if that blows, the Ring of Fire goes. We might as well just go ahead and watch as it burns. Mm-hmm. We're done.
Absolutely.
It'll make your life interesting, Julie. That's for sure.
Well,
oh, she's on the mountain. She gets to watch the rest of us go ahead and do a hot scotch.
Well, I was going to say, I'm in the mountains, so I probably won't get the worst of it. But
yeah, she's going to be sitting up there in her lawn chair with her binoculars saying, oh, Dawn, jump the other way. Oh, that was lava. Too bad.
At least you should be running this way. So.
And one more quick tip on saving money is coupons. Coupons aren't quite what they used to be, but you can still really, really clean up. My wife does the coupon corner at PrepperRecon.com, and that's up at the top of the menu bar there. You can click that. And she's got all these different sites that will basically, you know, people, they don't want to do coupons because it's like so time consuming. You got to figure out all these deals and figure out where's the sale and where's the coupon and all of this, align all this stuff up. She's got all these different sites on there that do that for you. For almost any grocery store that you go to or any drugstore that you go to, there's a site that monitors all their sales and monitors coupons and lines up all the deals for you so that you can be a brain dead zombie that thinks it's okay to melt down your silverware and still figure this out.
That's good.
Crazy coupon lady.
And
with a K. Crazy coupon lady.
That's
I'm
one
a
of
couponer.
Southern. That's yes. Southern Savers. That's another one. Anything,
mm-hmm.
You know, whatever your grocery store is. Let's say, you know, if your region, if it's Kroger, then there's a website called iHeart Kroger. If the
mm-hmm.
grocery store in your region is Winn-Dixie. If it's Publix, there's a website called iHeart Publix. Whatever it is, and whatever your grocery store, whatever your drugstore is too. If you've got CVS in your area, there's an iHeart CVS. If Rite Aid is your drugstore, there's iHeart. I think Walgreens. I don't think it's iHeart Walgreens. I think it's iHeart Wags or something like that. But there's one for
right.
that. I'm just saying that there's these multiple websites that line up all the deals. They tell you what the sale is going to be next week, you know, so you'll know whether you need to go buy the paper this week. And you know, you might need to buy three papers because maybe there's so many deals in there and you're going to stock up so much stuff that it's going to be worth it. So that's another
quick,
great way. Another great way is
when it comes to couponing, real quick, Prepper.
Yeah.
If you know that there's going to be a good sale coming up, and you have it already figured out, what I do is I call ahead and I say, I want four cases of your Propel grape. They will pre-order it. They will have it pre-packaged and waiting for you so that when you go in, you can go ahead and buy the bulk versus trying to beat everybody else out there who just saw the fact that it just went on sale for 50 cents a pop.
Oh, that's
the second
a good idea.
Thing,
fantastic.
The second thing, right, is the second thing you can do is every store goes on a cycle. Their sales are on cycle. Find out what those cycles are. If you can go and if you talk to them, to the cashiers, and they'll pretty much tell you, yeah, you know what, every Thursday, because we want to get rid of all of the excess cookies for the next load because the shipments are coming in, we'll put them on sale. Find out what you use, find out the cycle, prepare for that, set aside some money for that. I have gone in and literally walked out. My biggest haul yet was $500 worth of coupon of groceries. I paid $3.47.
Yeah, and I don't know how you guys do that.
Fantastic.
I can't
do
that here.
Secret, real quick, what the secret is okay, Propel goes on sale every Friday, I think it is, at Fred Meyer. No, wait. I have to check my book. Let's just say Friday, keep it going. It goes down to 85 cents. The week before, Propel normally sends out its flyers for anybody who's interested. There's a 50-cent coupon. You're now down to 35 cents. If you're lucky and you can find another manufacturer coupon that has a different barcode or, such as Fred Meyer does and Winco does, takes competitor coupons, Safeway will often have a 50-cent coupon. I'm now saving a dollar. What is that? It's now 85 cents. I'm now actually putting back in my pocket 25 cents, roughly 15, 25 cents, whatever. That can go to another purchase.
Right.
Yeah, moneymaker.
Right. Now, if you do not use the item, everybody's seen the extreme couponing. You get these people, I don't even have a cat. I got 10 years of the cat food. Good for you. Guess what? She should have been smart, donated all that cat food to a shelter, and taken the tax deduction.
Mm. Very smart. Ladies, it's been such an honor to be on the show. I am going to have to run. Before I go, I do want to remind everybody to go over to PrepperRecon.com, get the free 7-step survival plan. It's great. If you're just starting out, it's great to help you get prioritized. I talk a lot in there about prepping on a budget. If you've been prepping for eons, it goes through all of the different areas of preparedness that a lot of people will skip over because they get pigeonholed into one specific area or a couple specific areas, and they miss some other important area of preparedness. So folks can go over there. Like I said, it's free, and I really appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Well, we really
thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Hey,
thank
shout
you.
Out also on Prepper Nation's page. If you go there, he's got a wealth of information on everything. Do you still have that heirloom seed address?
No, I don't think I have anything. I might have I probably have had a blog post or something like that.
Okay. But a shout out to anybody listening. His page is awesome. Like it, follow it, all sorts of information on it. Just a ton of information that you just kind of go, oh, gotcha. How I learned a lot of my stuff.
Yeah, and it's PrepperRecon.com, and we do a podcast every Monday and Wednesday. We post a new podcast, and that's downloadable. You can download it to your phone or your MP3 player, whatever. Listen to it on the go. We always have different preparedness experts on there.
I'll stick
a link
up and click the page for you. Thank you very much.
I already put a link on the Contra Radio Network page, on Facebook page. Put a link there, and it's also linked on the Contra Radio Network website under guest links. So it's all set. While you guys are talking, I was busy doing that. So you're good to go.
Cool.
Here, my friend.
Cool, cool.
Thank you guys again so much for having me.
Thank you. Have a great night.
All right. God bless and happy prepping.
Thank you. Good night.
Well, Don, that was awesome.
Well, I'm going to run now, Julie, okay? I'll see you later.
Oh, no. I have a whole hour to fill now.
No, you don't. You can quit anytime you want.
Can I?
Yeah.
No, you cannot. You are doing awesome. We have people who are following up on it. What I found is we've got a lot of shares happening. Yeah, but what I found is we've got a lot of shares happening on the podcast versus them tuning in. Maybe they can't. But I've been seeing like 12, 15 shares.
Well, that's probably all from me. Trying to get people to listen. So, but I did want to take this time here. We've had a couple. John sent me a couple of comments from people. So there are two or three of you listening, which I really greatly appreciate. And some of them are going through some hard times, and that they've brought it to my attention that our show is helping them through some of these things. I'm a nurse, and even though I don't practice anymore, I still think like a nurse and worry like a nurse. And I just wanted to shout out to these people that are going through these medical illnesses with their family members that we're going to keep you in our prayers. And we really appreciate that you took the time to give us feedback even through what you're going through. And it came at a good point for me, too. And I really appreciate the feedback from everybody who's written in, good or bad. Luckily, there's only two of you, so it wasn't that awful. But I would like to make a little point out. Every single person who sent me a note says that they love our show, they like my voice, they love Dawn, but they're all single or they're all happily married, and they're not flirting. Every single one has said that. If I sound desperate, you guys call me and tell me if you sound desperate, because that's ridiculous. I would never even assume that. I just appreciate hearing from you guys and letting us know if we can talk about something that affects you or that you guys want to know about. That would be awesome. Okay, that was my little two-minute weird out here, but... I just want to know why they keep saying that.
I don't know.
Maybe it's you, Don. Maybe they're confusing you with you.
No, I think what it is that, you know, a lot of these guys, they're probably, you know, part of our website. They're probably part of Conflicted. And they see this, you know, this Amazonian with her bow and arrow, and they're thinking, you can take care of yourself and you can handle all this stuff. And they just want to make sure that their wives don't kill them.
Well,
see,
I don't know. John's sending them to me, not Conflicted. So, but
still, smart men 101. They can go ahead and show a text that says, "I said I'm happily married, honey." See?
Okay, John, you've got to weigh in on that one for a minute. But
you're a
I know
tramp.
He's married too. Okay.
You're a tramp.
What?
You're a tramp.
Yeah, he's going to say, "Hey, I'm not flirting. I'm happily married." That's going to be the next thing out of his mouth. So,
okay.
just for the record, I'm not looking, okay?
You're not.
But we do appreciate the feedback.
We do. Hey, we got a congratulations going out to CRN listener Mitchell Ryan. Congratulations on the birth of his son, Charles, 9-pound, 6-ounce monster.
Wow.
So,
holy smokes.
Mitchell is one of our long-time listeners.
Baby prepper.
Baby prepper. There you go.
Babies. So, I love babies. I love babies. Other people's babies especially. I can give them back. But I love babies.
Give them back. If only. We do have three New Jersey counties under state emergency. I know we got a few listeners out in New Jersey. This is a time to start making sure your emergency plan actually works. You get the opportunity that a lot of us don't get, and that's to be in an actual emergency situation to test your plan out. Also, take care to protect and preserve your emergency supplies. Do it now. Don't wait.
Absolutely. like we said, if you go to that one page, there's supposed to be earthquakes, a whole cluster of them again, from Oklahoma all the way to the East Coast. And he's projecting five or five and a half, somewhere in there. But
on the Richter scale?
Yeah. That's still a pretty big quake, isn't it?
Yeah.
We had less than that, and it knocked the overpass down, I think, or some of the buildings over here. We had
Earthquakes, no, it doesn't matter what size the earthquake is. Anytime the earth is moving beneath your feet, it's a bad thing. It doesn't matter. It isn't supposed to move. If it's moving, it's a bad thing. Bad juju is about to come down on you. Think about it.
Well, and he said it triggers the way the tectonic plates are. It triggers more pressure down the way. But he said it always goes east.
Washington, D.C. could be flushed down the toilet. Nice.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But you guys need to be prepared. I would say this. I mean, this is something I watched today, and his name is Dutch Sinse, S-I-N-S-E. He's on YouTube, and he does a 10 o'clock adjustment for the next day. And so far, I've watched him the last 4 days, and he's been right on every time, every single time. And he puts a little note on there, you know, he gets the radio stations and the government are calling him a quack and stuff because there's no way of predicting these things. But he puts it on there, and it's on there before it happens. So I'm thinking he's got a pretty good track record.
Right.
And if you're in those types of areas where you're prone to that sort of thing, you might watch it because it's escalating.
Well, don't forget that the government was the one that thought the Indians were quack because they thought that the sky held up, that the trees held up the sky. And when they started doing their mass, cutting down a tree, lumbering, long, whatever, they found out they were right. Now we've got all sorts of problems with pollution. So, you know, if it works, I'd be more apt to think the guy is accurate than I would the government, because at this point the government's not even right 20% of the time.
Right. So let's continue on with his prepping on a budget thing. What are some of the things that you might have that you don't think that most people carry in your preps? I just actually spent 2 hours sorting out one shelf of my back room so I could take a inventory of it, and I found so many things in there that I didn't even realize that I had, and some of them are unusual. I have odd things, so like Don, what are some of the things that you have that are a little bit off the beaten path? Anything? For example, I've got 10 bars of soap, 5 are for mosquitoes, and 5 are for poison ivy. And I bought them for like a nickel at Ace Hardware when they went on sale. And basically, if you wash with it, it'll kill poison ivy if you get into poison ivy. And the other one is a mosquito repellent, but it's a bar of soap that you just wash with. Just weird little things.
I got, I ordered up 10 bars of the sulfur soap. I found it at armysoap.com. It works great. You can also use it on your clothes to also repel the insects as well. It's 10% sulfur. Seems to work really well.
Really?
Yeah.
I've not heard of that.
Terry and I were talking about it about a month and a half ago, and I looked it up. It said Army Soap. Well, there it is. And it's right out, it comes out of Texas. Great state, Texas. Love Texas. And you know what? It works really well. Even my wife likes it. So,
what does she do with it?
Washes herself with it.
Oh, I mean, not like laundry or anything like that.
No, you can use it on laundry too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very versatile. Because Terry and I were talking about.
Another great way that you can use that John?
Yeah, go ahead.
That soap that you're talking about? Another really great way you can use that is it's good for sanitizing and cleaning, you know, like your kitchens and this type of thing. A lot of people don't realize that. Kitchen's number one place for bacteria. It's not the bathroom.
Well, that's what I was wondering is, like, do you use it on wounds? Because sulfur is pretty good. But we used to go to the hot springs that had a high sulfur content when we had an infection in soap. So...
Hot springs.
I don't know.
Been there. I've been there to hot springs. Like it. I do. I have. What was I going to tell you? No, that was it.
Okay. Well, I'm running low on steam tonight, so if
it's
nobody
okay.
else has
it's
any
right.
qualms about it tonight, I think I'll cut it short. We've had a really long day, a long week at work, and we've got a storm front coming in. And
all right.
I guess.
You know, it's Julie, don't worry about it, because last, I think, Sunday night, I cut my show short, and the reason is this. I'm not going to regurgitate the same information over and over again, because, one, it's boring for me. It's boring for the listeners. They've already heard it 1,000 times. They don't need to hear it again. And why waste everybody's time? If you got something new, put it out there. Am I right, Dawn?
Yes, 100%. And I'm glad you're cutting it short, because I am trying, it, even as we speak, to make some BLTs for a very grumpy family. They're eyeing the dogs.
Goodbye.
All right.
Goodbye,
and with that, we will cut
talk to you guys
short.
Later.
No, all I right. appreciate everybody coming and hanging out there with us. And I really appreciate Prepper Recon Mark who came and talked to us for a good hour. That was really
hey,
valuable.
Real quick before we leave, Julie?
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and tell them what the surprise is for next week?
I would if I knew. I'm not sure.
Next week, everybody listening, blast us out. Go ahead and give a shout-out to it. It is going to be a show where we're bringing the kids on to go ahead and tell their honest opinion about prepping, about pampering, about PMSing when it comes to their parents.
Well, that'll be interesting, yes. I have 2, and Don has a whole handful. So
I have 3. Don't thank you more than that. Well, I have 4 to count the husband, but you know.
Hey, Julie.
Yes,
you
sir.
You have a new listener in the chat room. He is Leo Moons.
Hi, Leo.
We are Leo Moons. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hey,
Leo. I hope you stick around for others.
Yes, sir. Well, I thought you knew him because you were calling him by name. I thought. But any time we have a new one, so we're up to 5 now. Is that what you're telling me? 5 listeners. Yay.
You know,
we're
you
growing.
Lie so much. I never know when to believe your lying mouth anymore.
I don't lie.
You lie like a rug.
I am really working hard.
Julie's averaging
really working
300
hard.
Listeners a show.
I am so underutilized. Dawn is the queen. I'm just for the background noise and to laugh occasionally to make people happy.
Well, it's like I posted on the website. You're the one that gives all the information. I'm kind of like the lighting show that goes with the, you know, with the rock stars. So, but John, you know what I'm working on is I'm working on one of these days
Ryan.
Having Julie
Ryan's
log in.
In the house. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Leo Moons is Ryan. She's the rabbit lady. She could come on and tell you about raising rabbits sometime. She's queen.
Cool. Very good.
She goes out, people call her when there's wild rabbits, she goes out and traps them, like if a colony, somebody turned loose their colony or something, and then she sells them and eats them.
Hey, she earned it.
So, yeah, she's awesome. We've done a few things together.
Good deal.
All right, you're off the hook tonight, Ryan, but you're going to be on one of these nights. But I do appreciate my 5 listeners. And Don's 5 listeners, and we appreciate John because I can never get on the show without him.
Well, what I'm doing, yes, John, thank you so much. On a serious note, really, this is a great opportunity. I was going absolutely bonkers with school coming up with the kids and everything else. This is kind of my release for me to actually talk to other adults. Thank you. You know, 2-hour time frame. I don't have to do no, don't touch, don't put that in your mouth, and why in the world did you put that up your nose? So, you know, I greatly appreciate it.
I have a story about that. But John would think I'm lying, so I'm not going to tell it.
Good.
I do too, but it's kind of more like, you know, we can't
discuss
it on our TV show.
It's probably not good for public radio.
But there are pictures.
Okay, well. All right, well, tomorrow John has his Contra Radio Network show at 8 o'clock. And,
and we're going to try something different.
Are you? What are you going to do?
For the CRN Facebook page, I think I figured a way how to do videos. So I'm going to upload. I'm going to do some videos tomorrow. I'm down to try to figure out how I can do a video and still pump in the audio to it. So I'm still going to play around with that because I think, you know, some people do better watching videos. Others do better. They can just do what we're doing, just listening in and that kind of thing. So.
Well, hey, John, if you ever want me to be on your show, I'm here all week. I have absolutely no
problem.
My popular
demand.
You just flew in from Las Vegas and our arms are tired. Sorry.
Well, it's better than flying in from L.A. and having to wear a gas mask. Holy cow. Yep, no, no problem with that. So, like
Please
I said, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. And we will look forward to next week.
Next
all right.
Week.
Well,
all right.
Thank you all for being here. And thank you, John, for putting up with us.
You know what?
And,
hey, Contra Radio, we've got more. You know, I checked the Facebook page. In the last 2 weeks, it's starting to really roll here now. We've had 19 new likes on our Facebook page, which is good. People starting to get the word out, pass the word around. Julie's show, Ladies of the Watch, for women preppers. Because let's face it. By the way, the coupon thing that Mark was talking about, what a good – you know, I look at coupons this way. It's free money. It's free money.
I'm not much of a couponer. We're so isolated.
It doesn't make a difference.
We don't get radio.
Yeah.
We don't get TV. We don't get any of that. But for me to coupon, I'd have to go down and get all the magazines and all the newspapers and all the stuff. I'm not big on the internet. I don't know, you know, all these things. But from what he said, I'm going to go check out his site and see what he suggests.
It's a great site. He's got a great website. I wish my website was informative and looked as good as his. I'm jealous.
Really?
I put it out there. I'm jealous. So there, it's out there. Yeah. And Wednesday nights will be Average Joe Says, a new tip from him. If you haven't got the HBA spreadsheet, it's on the CRN website. It's a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet that you can use to evaluate the hazards in your geographic location. It's really informative. You can download it. It's ready to roll. And Average Joe Says, that's a new 2 to 5 minute, little tip line that Joe in Central Illinois came up with, and he likes doing that. And he's going to do it. So we did the first one Wednesday night. We're going to put him on RTR. We also have another listener who wants to join the CRN team. He's going to be doing Sunday nights. It won't be this Sunday night. He's dealing with his dad who's in the hospital right now. But he's going to be doing a thing for Patriots. He hasn't come up with the name with it yet. But that will be on Sunday nights. And Average Joe Says will be on Wednesday nights on the Roundtable Report. And let me think, what else? I think that's about
it
right now.
Are you giving up Sundays then?
I am. No. He's going to be doing the same thing Average Joe does. It's like a 2 to 5 minute tip type thing.
Okay.
So,
very good.
Yeah. But, you know, if you hey, listeners, you want to do a radio show, by all means,
call
get hold
him.
Of the Contra Radio
Live. He'll put you on one.
I got time slots. I got time slots. I can put you on there. And do you ask Julie how hard it is?
Hang
of it,
really, really, really hard. It's horrible
to talk to yourself. That's why I never know when to believe your lying mouth. Because you tell lies all the time, and there you go. There it is.
It's hard.
Lie
if you go
lie,
back and listen to
you.
The first episode.
It never ends with you.
You tied me to a chair and beat me with a sack of oranges.
No. You know what? You've come a long way. Hey, you want to hear something strange? Go listen to my first one. It's on there. Go listen to my first episode.
I'm lucky that Dawn can talk. That's all I have to
Dawn
say.
Dawn can talk faster than a tornado can blow wind, let me tell you.
Yes, and I can throw her things to get her talking again, and so that's my superpower. So
there you have it. So there it is.
Yes.
So, you know, things are moving along here at CRN. We're so glad our listeners are part of it. Julie, I'm glad you're part of the CRN family because, you know what, we all serve a purpose.
Yes, sir. And I appreciate everybody listening. And if you keep sending in your comments, we really appreciate it. It's nice to know that somebody's listening and that it may be making a difference here and there.
They are. And it does.
All right. Well, you guys all have a good night and be safe.
All right. Good night, dear. Good job.
Good night.
That was Julie from Ladies of the Watch. I'm John Jeffers. I'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More.